The lesson is from the book of Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed and powerless to prevail against the challenges you face? Perhaps the challenges you face today. Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed and powerless to prevail against the challenges you face in life today? Here are just a smattering, if you will, of the challenges I know people face. One of you is supporting the raising, nurturing of an autistic child. Another I know, spouse has a disease, and it's the care is utterly consuming. Another I know has a daughter who's in the throes of an opiate addiction. And still another talks about a marriage that is devoid of passion, conflict, and in harmony. We've been talking about our mission statement. The mission statement, of course, is about being a disciple, making a disciple, and going. It's about living, if you will, a Jesus-shaped life. It's a life like Jesus. And key to this is a clear sense of who we are as God's beloved, and how with this covenant identity God promises, gifts us our identity as his beloved, comes kingdom responsibility. And that is simply being Christ in the world, representing Christ, advancing the reign and rule of God in this world. And here's the point. In the midst of whatever wilderness experience you and I know, I believe God is calling us in the midst of these challenges to advance the kingdom, to represent Christ in the midst of the wilderness. God has promised us authority. He authorizes us to represent him. He's promised to live out kingdom responsibility in this world. In fact, we are promised, hear this, this is a journey of faith for a lifetime, but we are promised the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. That's the journey. That's the reality we're seeking to live into as believers. I want to talk to you a little bit about the nature of exercising power and authority as believers. Now, of course, we understand that Jesus, as God's Son, is given all authority and power. He says as much. All authority and power has been given to you, given to me, Matthew 28. And we see how Jesus, in our reading today, exercises authority and power to fulfill God's will for his life and to further the reign of God's kingdom, to inaugurate, to bring it to bear in this world. It's instructive for us. So I invite you to look at verse 1 of our reading from chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. It says that Jesus returned from the Jordan, if you recall. It was at the Jordan River that the Spirit of God was present in the form of a dove. And he heard, Jesus did, the Father's voice from heaven declare over him, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Spirit was present. Now that same Spirit leads Jesus, drives Jesus, perhaps, if you will, into the wilderness where he is tempted. He's famished. He has no food. The point is, friends, you would think, would you not? You would think that this is, mind you, at the very beginning, right before Jesus' public ministry is to begin. You would think that this is certainly not the way you want to begin your ministry as the Son of God to save the world. Rather, how about start with some phenomenal miracle as such? How about turning loaves of bread, a few fish, into provision for thousands, right? That's the way it should begin. Wouldn't you agree with me? Or how about, raising the only child, the only son, mind you, of a widow. That's the way I think God should begin, the way the Spirit should lead Jesus in inaugurating his ministry. But instead, he's led into the wilderness, tempted by the devil. What gives here? Again, that hardly seems a way to start. After all, the wilderness is an austere place, right? In fact, the word that wilderness is translated from means the devastation. The wilderness of Judah, where Jesus is led by the Spirit, the devastation. Hills like dust heaps, if you will. Limestone, blistered and peeling. Rocks, bare and jagged. The ground sounded hollow under horse hoofs. And you know how it is when you look. If the heat just kind of radiates and shimmers. Jesus is led there by the Spirit, tempted, famished, 40 days, a real testing, place of temptation. Hardly a way, it seems to me, to begin his ministry to save the world. As I mentioned, some of the challenges that people are facing in our community of faith. Wilderness experiences, these challenges, these wilderness experiences, if you will, are places where our faith is tested. It's a place of temptation, unilateral action. Forget about God. God's not showing up. I wonder what might be, and we all have some type of wilderness experience today. If it's not the care of a loved one, perhaps it's your own health that's a little shaky. Maybe it's a lust of the flesh that's creeped up and Satan is knocking at your door, if you will. He has his claws in you. Maybe it's a long-term protracted conflict with a loved one. Maybe it's your job or lack thereof. The wilderness, places of temptation, the testing one's faith. But also, it can be looked at as a place of opportunity whereby the character of our faith can be forged, strengthened, and where our identities as God's beloved can be solidified. And we see this in Jesus, the onslaught of temptations. He emerges, however, from the testing, as we read, in the power of God's Spirit. It's here where his character, if you will. We are told that Jesus learned obedience by what he suffered. He, too, had a journey of faith in trusting in the goodness of his Father. It paved the way for his incredible ministry to save humankind. So let's look at how Jesus, what we mean by authority and power, how Jesus exercises authority and power in the midst of wilderness experiences, again, where we're called to represent and further God's kingdom. The first temptation is about physical need, right? He's famished, as mentioned, and you can just see or hear, however you want to, imagine it, a stone. Hey, Jesus, Turn right there, that stone. You have the power and authority, Jesus. Turn that stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus knows who he is. And instead of exercising his authority and power to satisfy a physical need, what does he do? He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where we read, "One does not live by bread alone, but rather every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Just think on that. One does not live by bread alone. Oh yeah, you need bread. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It was Jesus' daily bread to hear from the Father. And by the Father's empowerment, live out God's will in the world. That was his portion. That was his daily bread. The second temptation, the devil, can you imagine? Hey, Jesus, Son of God, look at all the kingdoms of the world. Wow. I grant you the authority and power to rule. He says, I will give it to anyone I please. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a lie. Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy again, 6:3, about worshiping and serving only the Lord your God. He's trusting not in some type of political expediency, if you will. He's rather trusting in the authority and power of God to establish his kingdom, a different kingdom, mind you. Not one by force, but one by love. He's trusting in the Father to establish his reign and rule. The third temptation, the devil then took him away to Jerusalem and placed him at the pinnacle of the temple, right there in Temple Square with all the people. Jesus, throw yourself down. The angels will catch you. He will command. He's quoting Psalm 91. What a spectacle that would be, huh? Man, if you talk about winning approval, establishing your political base. No. This time, he quotes again from Deuteronomy 6:16. I will not put God to the test. Satan wanted Jesus to prove his authority and power over against the Father. Jesus is given authority and power, but he uses it in submission to God. And he trusts in God, his loving Father, protect him, his beloved Son, from ultimate harm. Again, he had all authority and power. He knew who he was as God's Son. But he did not use that authority and power to further his wants and desires, but rather instead trusted in the goodness of God, submitted to God, and allowed God to further his reign and rule through him. We have received, if you are a believer, you've received authority and power. Jesus says, all authority and power is given to me. And when he says that in Matthew 28, he's transferring. He's giving that authority to you and me to represent. Paul then talks about how when we come to Christ, we're raised up with Christ and seated in heavenly places with Christ. And he's talking then about royal authority. And the Lord's not going to send us out. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to go. Lo, I am with you always. All power and authority. Of course, to be exercised not to gratify fleshly wants and desires, but rather in submission to Christ to further the reign and rule of God. And when we are willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done, as we pray and we submit ourselves and the Spirit's working in our lives, and little by little we desire as God's beloved to please our Father, little by little, as we submit and say, here I am. That becomes then the way that power, kingdom power, flows through us. The power to love God, the power to love others. Perhaps you've experienced, I know you have, but people will say to me on occasion, one example in particular, just recall to mind, I went over and prayed over someone's house. My house has never been blessed. This is a person who also has had just pain in their back. And so we prayed over this person, anointed her with oil. The person commented to me a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, when you came over that day, I felt the presence of God. I'm thinking, wow, really? People share, you know, that word that you shared or that teaching, it was like God was speaking directly to me. Well, this isn't just me. I know that you have showed up on the scene, made a visit, and the person said to you, I'm so glad you came. I just needed someone to come, and you ministered to me. You know, when you taught and when you share from your heart your testimony, it just pierced my heart and encouraged and strengthened me. And you know and I know it's not about us, right? It's about God doing God's thing, manifesting his presence, his power, and we get to be vessels of it. That's what we mean by submission and then the manifestation of God's power and authority in and through our lives. A couple weeks ago, I showed you this triangle up here. And God, who's sovereign God, is also our good Heavenly Father. And by faith, again, raised up with Christ in heavenly places, we claim our identity as God's beloved. We're given, you know, responsibilities. We seek to live in, as I mentioned, as we grow a little bit and as God, you know, works in our lives, there's this desire to please our goodness, our good Heavenly Father. So this talks about submission. Submission. Talk about that just a moment. And then the next triangle, if I could. This, you haven't seen this before. But our good Heavenly Father, thank goodness, is also sovereign. As we pray, you know, our Father, who art in heaven, he rules over the heavenly host. He's King of Kings. And he says, all authority. He transfers his authority. We receive it by faith. And then as we submit ourselves, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but thy will be done, as we live in submission, the power of God's love is manifest. And I would say, right smack in the middle of the challenge you face today, I face today, and our responsibilities that God has called us to, whatever that is. You know, one of my wilderness experiences, challenges, providing leadership around discipleship and a mission rather than a club of like-minded. And I've learned God continues to bring me to the very end of myself. I cannot do this. And as he brings me to the end of myself, learning little by little, but learning over a lifetime, we learn submission. And that really is like Job, you slew with me, Lord, yet I trusteth in you. It's trusting God when we don't understand. It's coming to know, even though I don't understand, God, I trust your work because you're sovereign and because you're good. What's your wilderness experience? You're coming again to the end of yourself, submission. God, I can't, but I have a mustard seed faith. You can. I just want to finish by briefly just talking about three ways we live into. We pave the way for the manifestation of God's authority and power in our lives. Are you ready? Imagine the first one. If I could, pray up. You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? Think about this. I don't know, in terms of Jesus in a 24-hour period or in a 7-day week, I'm not sure how much time he spent in the Father's presence praying up. But we do know at times it seems like he prayed all night. I mean, we have this sense. I mean, our lives seem to be, and I am as guilty of this as the next, that my life is more about doing. Right? What's going to happen? I got to do it. It's more about doing. But how about if little by little we flip that, our lives become more about being. Being in the presence, abiding. Coming before God with whatever the challenge, the wilderness experience. In some sense, allowing God to do the heavy lifting. And then emerging as Jesus did. What's your wilderness experience? Learning to really pray up and abide. I think it was said as Luther, when he experienced incredible challenge, he had to spend at least 3 hours in prayer, we think. That guy's a knucklehead. He needed to get after a lot quicker than 3 hours. But you know what I'm kind of saying, man? 3 hours? Who's got time for 3 hours tomorrow morning to pray up? But little by little, incrementally, pray up. Let God do the heavy lifting. The second thing is, imagine this, fellowship. Live in. Live in. Yes, faith is a journey, me and Jesus. But it's also a shared journey, the church, the called out ones who gather. Two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst. We know that at times our faith is weak and we need someone whose faith is strong to encourage us. Where two or three are gathered, gathering around the word, learning to hear God speak through scripture, prophetic words, you know, sensing the voice of God. And then by the encouragement of community, to step out emboldened with the authority and power God has given us to make disciples, to be one rather, then make them, and to love God, to love our neighbors, ourselves, emboldened. And the third way, step out. I like this, the way this text, you know, Jesus, here it is, Luke 4, and he's tempted, even before he started his ministry, learning to trust in the provision and protection of God. But when he finally emerges from the temptation, we are told in 14, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone for a time, but then they wanted to kill him, of course. He was empowered. He learned as God's son to trust in the goodness of his father. In Matthew's account, it says after he was tempted, the angels came and waited on him. And he experienced, again, the ministering of God's spirit, God's provision, God's protection. He received all that he needed in that wilderness to go forth in the power of spirit to save humankind. At some point in time, hey gang, got to step out. Got to step out. And that one step God is calling us to make. In the authority and power God has promised to give us. And it's amazing when we do, we discover God doing in us what we never thought possible on our own. It's a little bit like riding a bike. And I'll just share with this, close with this illustration. It's probably been a while since we remember riding our bike with training wheels, huh? I had a bike called a Rollfast bike. It was red. I had training wheels on at the very beginning. And I thought I would never be able to skate with, you know, but I never thought I'd be able to ride a bike without training wheels. I watched some of the older boys and, you know, but as I rode that little Rollfast around, I discovered I was not needing the training wheels quite as much. The big day came when the training wheels came off the Rollfast. I was in the Carlson's backyard. They had a picnic table there. And I launched myself from that bench. And there I am, riding the bike in the backyard. Isn't that a little bit like the nature of faith? It's like, I can never do this, God. I'm never going to be like Paul or Jesus. Ha ha. But little by little, in the authority, God has authorized us to represent him, all authority, Little by little, we discover through submission when we pray up, live in, and live out. Little by little, we discover a power greater than ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, emboldened in whatever challenge God has called us to, and given the authority and power to prevail. Amen.